It's time, Carlos.
You're the worst. You're the worst. You speak first. You insist on speaking first, but you don't put up the warnings.
Does it bug you?
Will you say the warnings already, please?
Spoiler alert! And swearing.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job.
Continue.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm currently tied up in Dave's basement because this nightmare just doesn't end.
Right, week two.
Next on the docket, Eno Battle versus Everyday Life. And the last episode, immensely broken superpowers, except for the guy who wanted superpowers the most. But he seems to be cool with it. He seems to like his little blue flame that does nothing. But there are things afoot, or are they? And we see what is in store for the club this episode.
Yep. Here we go.
Meanwhile, in the future.
All right, so that was Eno Battle within Everyday Life. I said versus before, my mistake. Episode 2, where Kudo mistakes Ando's assigning of her power with some kind of love letter. This leads to comedy, and eventually him having to do the right thing and confess and hurt the girl's feelings, and it was handled pretty well. Not opinion time yet. And then he learns a valuable lesson about perhaps not letting his feelings get misunderstood in that quirky Japanese way wherein they don't just come right out and say at the beginning, "Hey man, no, I'm not actually deeply madly in love with you," which would have solved the whole problem. Still no sign of any evil organization. We learned that all the girls like Ando for some reason. Dave, what'd you think of episode 2?
Stuff happened, but stuff really didn't happen.
But that's kind of the point.
I know, but they've got these powers, and I would have at least liked to have seen some slapstick happening with that while this whole thing was going on. It was very talkative, but not in a way that I thought was necessarily bad. Everything they were saying wasn't just the droning on of information. It was an actual emotional character side, so it didn't bug me.
I find it funny that this episode of this show was more compelling school life than all the other crappy school life shows we had to fucking sloth through to get to this point.
More happened in this episode through dialogue than happened in any of them.
Yes. Mirai, nope. Saucer above the town, nope.
I liked it. It's the same as the last episode as far as how much I liked it.
Yeah. I thought they handled the situation well. But, like, okay, there's no evil organization or anything. But I mean,
there's no conflict yet, really.
Like, okay, I get that they handle that little situation well, but I mean, that and again, it's this, okay, look, Tomoyo, it's very obvious that you have a thing for this guy. Just say something. Kudo was much more upfront about it, and we got to see in this one episode a little bit of a perhaps one-sided relationship not really go anywhere. But there's still resolution at the end. This one episode kind of encapsulated what I know the rest of the show is probably going to just keep out of arm's reach. It's so frustrating, and it's getting to the point that I just don't want to see this kind of carrot dangling anymore, and that's going to affect my rating. It's just that, yeah, I see the point. The first episode, I got the point there a little better. I kind of wish they combined the moral lesson of this episode, which was the good part, with more advancement of the plot, which was that guy standing upside down in the tree spying on them. Was there a point to all the girls being mad at him other than a little bit of comedy? We got a little bit out of it, but that scene could have been trimmed so heavily to have anything else. And I know if this is just going to be a school life show with the hilarious concept that they have powers and nothing to use them on, okay, fine. But if you're going to keep doing this stupid thing where every episode they get this close to kissing and it never happens, I'm done, man.
How would you rate it?
I'm still going to rate it fairly strongly, but despite... I'm so conflicted here. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 3 pies.
Exactly what I was going to give it to.
There we go, 7.5. Fuck me, man. I know it's just episode 2 as well, but I know that fucking Magic Kaito is going to pull that shit too, and...
It's trope number 4 on the Japanese anime list.
I hate it.
I know.
It honestly infuriates me.
Is this a green?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's a green. But.
But we're both worried it might become a yellow very quickly.
Sure. So next is,
Garo!
Garo the Animation. Let us see if episode 2 is just as much about drunken father figure wooing a prostitute who ends up being a demon.
Oh, I don't know if that'd be a good thing or a bad thing.
Actually, if every episode was him in a different bed with a different woman, all of whom end up being demons.
Running gag?
And then, yeah, the guy was like, you know, Dad, it's getting a little irritating, this routine.
I don't think the show is going to be as much slapstick as that. Might be a good thing if they did that, including having their house get destroyed every episode. Yeah.
I can't believe we keep going through houses like this. Like, I know we're freedom fighters with godly powers, but we need a place to eat and shit too, man. Like,
meanwhile, in the future.
Alright, Garo the Animation, episode 2. In this episode, we learn a little bit more about Leon and that he's a bit troubled because, despite being a baby, he seems to recall his mother being burned alive very well. We also see a little bit more insight into Hermann, his dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of a lecher so that he can gain information, which we kind of already knew. The big plot points were that there appears to be a Makai alchemist named Emma, who a local horror disguised as a priest had taken an interest in, but she was just luring him into a trap when the two Makai knights appeared and kind of fucked it up. We also learn a bit more about Alfonso and that he's on the run after his mother and their kingdom is betrayed by the evil Mendoza! That is the buddy copist villain name ever. And I'm going to love saying that every time we get through one of these episodes. So I'll go with my thoughts first. I like this episode. I didn't think too much of the show from trailers, and the first episode was pretty serviceable, and the second one was also pretty serviceable, and the show's not horribly exciting, but it's exciting enough. And it's not terribly bad. It's executed well. It's consistent. The characters we need to learn a bit more of, but they're giving us little bits and pieces, and we're seeing Alfonso's side story crop up, and he's either going to become an ally or a Zuko or both. He looks so much like Kai, though. Holy shit. So far, I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah, no, the characters, I'm liking the characters, the fact that they don't have to outright tell us, you know, you're a lecher pop, it's just, we know.
Yeah, I like how Leon is a little ashamed of this, and look, his father's just an unabashed pervert. I've been there, Leon.
Like, the fact that Leon is being consumed either by too much power or his power being corrupted or whatever's going on. We haven't really had that explained to us too much.
Nobody let Metsa near the story.
however, it's very obvious that he had power passed on to him by his mother, which is probably how he has the memories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I have a feeling we're going to have a whore sleeping with his father every episode.
I am okay with this as a running gag. I said it jokingly at first. Now I need it to happen.
The fact that Mendoza! The fact that he is the very stereotypical backstabbing priest assistant, whatever the fuck his position actually is.
This show really revels in priests being evil.
No kidding. It's just, it's fun to see how they're playing to the evil lackey taking over trope, but they're not doing it in a boring, are you kidding way. It's like, okay, I saw something like this coming, but good execution.
The show is definitely playing it straight. There's no parody here.
Yeah.
But it's also not so far up its own ass. It's like, hey, here's kind of a European-esque fantasy world with priests and demons and intrigue. And they're very... This show has been consistent.
Yes.
Episode 2 is still a good... And consistency and competence built upon is just fine by me. What do you give this out of 3 pie?
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
I'm going to be a little higher. I'm going to give this one an 8.
Okay.
0.2.
No.
Okay, 8 it is. I think this is a green. This is also in the wrong section.
Yeah, just realized that. Yeah, it's a green.
Shall we go... What time do you got?
7:50.
You want to watch Tribe Cool Crew?
That's next.
Okay, last episode, character names.
Dance-offs.
Kenon was the girl, and the main guy was, I don't remember, but they had just met, and there's going to be a blossoming friendship that leads to them discovering the world through dance and Miku engine antics. I want this show to succeed, but I also want it to capture more of my attention, I guess. Even if it ends up not being my cup of tea, I think it'll still be great. But let's...
It's in slot number 9.
It's our 9th seed. Let's be initiated into Tribe Cool Crew.
Meanwhile, in the future...
All right, Tribe Cool Crew episode 2. Hanaru and Kenon met at the end of the last episode. But she runs away because, I don't know, social situations scare her? I'm not sure. Hanaru then meets, what's-his-face, Turner J, or whatever his name was, Dancer J.
We'll just call him Kappa.
Yeah, the guy in the Kappa suit, who seems to be pulling strings to have the two meet.
Or is looking for talented dancers.
Hanaru is enamored. We get a bit of the family life. We get a bit of a look at the family life of Hanaru and Kenon. And on Sunday, they go to this dance battle in public where they meet the three dancers who kind of host it.
He only really went to see if he could find her.
Yes. Hanaru is noticed by the dancers, and one of them calls Kumo, or whatever his name is, calls him out and wants him to dance battle. And Hanaru, being a giant jerk, totally outs Kenon and has her come up too, because that's a nice thing to do, isn't it?
In an innocent way. I mean, he appreciates what she can do, and he wants to see her...
It's still kind of jerky, and I hope they acknowledge it. Anywho, I was pretty pumped up about this episode, I gotta tell you, and they ended it right where I didn't want them to. I wanted to see the dance battle. So, last episode, I said that, I don't know how much I care. I don't have that question. I care now. I kind of want to see where this is going. Tribe Cool Crew's won me over completely now, I think. You?
Oh, I'm sold.
The CG dancing looks a little weird on some of the characters. I'm going to say someone with exaggerated expressions and physique like Kenon and Hanaru looks fine, or even the fat guy. But Kumo and Mizuki looked very unusual CG dancing, I thought.
Actually, I thought that...
It was more the faces.
I will be honest with you. During the dance sequences, that wasn't where I was looking, so I didn't notice that.
It jumped out at me, but that is a minor complaint.
I was watching the actual dance moves, and I must say, whoever they got to actually animate in CG the dance moves, they've definitely done their homework.
Reminds me of my dancing days. Tuck, 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 tuck.
Look, going back between one foot and another is actually dancing, but it's not what they're doing.
Hey, that's how all Portuguese people dance.
What, fish's maracas?
Yes. Yes, the fish maracas.
You rated the last one first, so I'll go first.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one an 8.
Nice. I'm going to be a bit more generous. I'm going to give it an 8.63.
Oh, fuck you. Can you at least make it 8.64?
Okay. 8.32. is our average.
Yeah.
For Taibukula Kuru. And that is green, I think.
It's a green. I am seeing something very awesome, but also very bad here.
Ah, what's that?
Oh, shit.
Hmm. What?
We currently have 12 greens on this list.
Some greens are getting cut, man. I gotta tell you, I foresee Magic Kaito being a nominee for cutting.
At this point, not me.
Yeah, we're gonna have to rumble over that one.
Actually, number one, the first thing we go by is what we rated it. And right now, Magic Kaito is only 0.4 above Inu Battle.
Well, fuck it, I'm gonna nominate it, if it comes to that.
If it gets cut, I'll be watching on my own.
Yeah, the second episode was really good for Magic Kaito, but I see where they're going. They're not gonna kiss.
But
they don't have to, I guess, no. But here's the thing. In that show, the relationship is important because they're establishing a Spider-Man-esque dual life that he's gonna have to lead, balancing the needs between his super persona and his regular persona, okay?
All I'm hearing right now is meh, meh,
meh, meh, meh, meh. I'm just saying I'm so sick of seeing meh. The constant meh. I will punch meh. Your fucking soul. I guess we'll argue about that once we get up to our...
I don't think there's going to be too much arguing. I'll be watching on my own afterward if it gets cut.
Sure.
Look at this list already. It's just, we know the yellows are gone.
Oh yeah, anything that gets yellow is a death sentence now, because...
I don't think we're going to see any red unless Cross-Ange really bombs.
Yeah, if there is going to be red, it's going to be either Cross-Ange or Kiseiju, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be Cross-Ange.
Even then, I think it'll end up yellow unless it really pisses us off.
It has the most potential for redness.
Yes,
it and does. I'm not just talking the broken hymen. I'm the worst.
Yes, you are.
I'm the worst. Back to Tribe Cool Crew. It is
refreshing.
Very refreshing. It's like a cool summer breeze
and
dance battle.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just it's refreshing. You know. The main character has kind of a, almost like a Goku-ish to him in how he's, I'm not going to say naive, but just so refreshingly straightforward about everything.
Well, he has one focus in life, and he is outright committed to that one thing, so it is kind of like Goku.
Yeah.
What else does Goku do besides fight and farm giant turnips? And the farming giant turnips thing is probably just because he can't fight 24/7.
It's also the straightforward attitude that everybody kind of gets along with.
Sure, sure. I get along with Goku pretty well. Folks, thank you so much for watching. Carlos and Dave Anime Rave is your online destination for listening to two fat assholes with nothing better to do talk about the fall 2014 anime season. I just want to briefly talk about videos for these fall 2014 ones. I'm doing all the audio first because it's faster and because I'm so sick of dealing with YouTube copyright headaches. Once I'm out of audio to do, I'll get on the videos. And the videos are going to be a bit behind, but we're behind anyway, so who the fuck cares? Yeah. I'm just going to dance here. Where?